Now may we look at the believing Jew and Gentile. Lord, remember me. Luke 23 and verse 42. Truly this was the Son of God. Matthew 27 and verse 54. The cross of the Lord Jesus, as we have seen, brought into manifestation the sin of unbelief. Both Jew and Gentile were found in this unbelief through their representatives, Caiaphas the Jew and Pilate the Gentile. The Jew demanded his crucifixion. The Gentile delivered him up to be crucified. The same cross, however, brought out faith where originally there was no faith. This is also seen in a Jew and in a Gentile. The Jewish thief on the cross and the Roman soldier standing before it. The cross proved to be the very place which gave birth to faith and dissolved the doubts and misgivings of some. Look at the repentant thief on the cross. It was said of our Lord during his earthly life that he ate with publicans and sinners. It was one of those many charges which the Pharisees brought against him. In other words, if he touched the kettle, would he not be blackened? But the words of the Pharisees were often more true than they intended. As, for instance, when they said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Luke 15 and verse 2. And how we thank God that he did. As he lived with them, so he died with them. And most important, died for them. Alongside the Lord Jesus, two others died upon crosses, one on the right hand and one on the left, and Jesus in the midst. The Lord was ever the true divider of men. In this case, one of them was saved, the other lost. Both began by cursing the Lord and may originally have been partners in the same crime. Matthew 27:44 tells us that the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. But as one of them heard the Lord pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23 and verse 34. And he saw how patiently Jesus bore the derision of the mob, and what celestial signs appeared. He turned suddenly with deep contrition of heart and cried, "Lord, remember me." In a previous chapter, I have mentioned the triumph of our Lord over all principalities and powers under the control of Satan. And the salvation of this man is a wonderful instance of that control. In some way, the cross was interpreted to him to reveal his own wickedness, and to reveal the heart and mind of God. It told out the grace of God. It manifested and proved the love of God to him. It is a remarkable story. First, he turns to rebuke the other reviling malefactor. He then confesses his own sin and admits, "We indeed suffer justly." Then He vindicates the character of the Lord Jesus by saying, "This man hath done nothing amiss," and also called Jesus Lord as he made his plea for mercy. Calling Jesus Lord was recognizing his deity as the Son of God. Further, he believed that this Christ had a kingdom to inherit and that he would rise from the dead to take possession of it. His repentance was accompanied by earnest prayer. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Though he had gone wildly astray in life and had travelled fast down the broad road until death was about to end his sinful acts, yet in this sudden moment of enlightenment, he turned to the Saviour on the cross and in turning was on his way home to God. "Today," assured our Lord, "shalt thou be with me in paradise." And paradise was the highest aspiration of any Jew. "With me," that was the highest man could ever attain. And it was freely vouchsafed and assured to this repentant thief, without a single good work to recommend him. He died in peace. He died with joy. He died forgiven. He died with assurance of going to be with the Lord. Now look secondly at the Roman centurion. "Truly this was the Son of God," was his cry. He belonged to the toughest of the Roman legions, for tough they had to be to keep Jewry in submission. The death of men meant little enough to this kind of man. He had probably killed a vast number with his own hand and heard them curse Rome in their dying. The groans of pain never affected men like this. The dying of men was a daily sight, and probably he'd seen thousands of them go that way. But the death of the Lord Jesus was something different from what he had ever seen. Who among all the dying had ever prayed like this man? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then there were these strange signs in the heavens, as when the sun hid its face and withdrew its total light and heat. Then maybe someone brought him news that the veil of the temple had been rent from top to bottom, the top which no man could reach, and a veil which even cart horses pulling against each other could not tear. The earth also quivered with shock. Graves opened, and some of the dead came forth alive. It was all a supernatural exhibition of God's great power. And the mighty impact of these events at the cross found their mark in this centurion. He feared as he never feared, and out of his heart, as a spontaneous cry, came the words, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Please note what he said. Not a Son of God, but the Son of God. This was none other than living faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God become Son of Man. With this confession, the truth about our Lord's dying must have been realized in his soul. His words were identical with the Father's testimony concerning his Son when at the Savior's baptism the heavens were opened and the Father's voice from heaven spake out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17. It is this confession which contains all the peace and joy and hope that the human soul can contain. It is this confession which brings salvation. It is the greatest truth man can ever discover, and which can be discovered only as the Spirit of God makes it known. It is this which saves and transforms. It flashes into the heart, it flashed into the heart of the centurion. And all darkness and doubt fled away and brought him joy unspeakable and full of glory. Both the Jew and the Gentile were saved at the cross. Listen to that wonderful hymn by Robert Murray McChain. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glorious sun, when from off the mount of God we review the path we've trod, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start and shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, clothed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Notice at the close of each verse, how much I owe. Amen. Amen.